Welcome back to the Iron Insight. Thank you for starting your week off right with the Iron Insight every Monday morning at 4 a.m. I'm Bryn Welds.
And I'm Andrew Nichols at Southern Leatherworks.
Today, we're sitting down with Jake LeGrand. How's it going, Jake?
Oh, not too bad. How about you guys?
Pretty good.
Living the dream, man. Living the dream.
Amen.
For anybody that isn't familiar with Jake, he is the closest thing that I've ever seen to a human CNC plasma table. I guess that's like the best way to describe it, but it seems like you really have no bounds with the kind of work that you've done, especially in the space that you're working with. Talk to me a little bit about your shop situation right now and what you're
do. Yeah, the current shop is not special, but it's special to me. And that's all that matters. Basically, it started out as a horse barn. We moved to this property and it had one light in it in the center as poles like everywhere. Basically, I think I end up scooping like almost a foot and a half of horse crap out of there. Like it was just a layer. Got all that out, put gravel in, put some lights in, and then we're just rocking and rolling with it. It's definitely limiting, but that's where the next chapter of LMW is gonna happen. So I got a shop expansion in the works where we're gonna be doing basically framing some trusses from a shipping container to another set of poles. And there's going to be something inside the shop that I don't want to say yet, because it's going to be wild. People are going to be like, WTF, why is that in your shop? And then it's going to be awesome. With that, I'll have an overhead crane set up that I'm building. I'll actually have real shop power. So I guess I didn't say that. On the existing shop, I run everything off a generator.
Man.
Yeah. The Harbor Freight Predator is her. she does okay. And it's definitely limiting. You basically, you run your plasma, unplug everything, hook up your welder. And I try to stage things where like I either start off with plasma or I end with plasma. That way I'm not trying to swap plugs and, move the machine. It's just a downfall at the current moment. But with the new shop, I will have a 200 amp service. So I'm going to have plugs everywhere. I'm super stoked about that. And I think that's going to be awesome too, is because at least from what I see on my analytical side of the social media, I think people do enjoy hearing me talk, whether they want to make fun of me or they enjoy it. But without that generator humming in the background, I can finally do more talking head video. So honestly, in terms of the content, my workflow, the shop expansion is going to be, it's going to be a literal game changer.
Yeah. It's crazy, some of the work you do, and you're a structural engineer by day. So how did you get into this?
So went to school at KU and went there for architectural engineering. And then like most people, you need a job throughout college to pay for all the goodies. And with the specific program I was in, we were basically taking 18 credit hours every semester. So jam-packed. And you would either be doing an early morning job or a late night. And I just wasn't interested in that. So I found an on-campus job in the research lab. So we were doing concrete testing. That was the main focus. But basically, I was whatever they wanted built. So if they needed formworks with wood, if they needed rebar bent to make the rebar cages, every now and then we had to do some fabrication. So one day I got roped into learning how to weld. And then it was like, hey, we're a little light on work today. Like, just go play. And I'm like, let's go. So play around with the welder, moved on to the plasma cutter, which is, that obviously stuck. And I learned how to work or run a mill, a lathe, honestly, just a really good overall in-depth experience. Because growing up, my parents had a restaurant, so I was basically always working in there. And I wouldn't say it was because my dad wasn't mechanically inclined, which he probably would say that he's not. But, that's just not like the things that we did. We came home, we did the livestock thing. I raised goats for a while. Worked in the restaurant, and there just wasn't room for that type of stuff. But I was always building something. My parents would come out and be like, what did you build? And I remember I built a pen out of railroad ties, and I forgot to put a gate. And my dad's like, how are you going to get in that? Oh, yeah. And then there's so many stories of like,
That is funny.
I love when we all meet up, because somehow my builds end up in the conversation because you see from like where I started and then you see the stuff I'm making now and you're like, yeah, you've always been a maker. It's just you had to get out there and do it. But yeah, the railroad tie, no gate pin was legit. That was not even the goats could get out, you know?
That was awesome. That's freaking, that is great. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Damn. I mean, just like comes around a corner. So how are you going to get in that? Well, that's not very easy. I was like, yeah, you're right.
That's probably one of the better, well, shit moments I have ever heard. That's pretty good. I've had a few in the same situation where dad walked down and go, well, how are you going to do this? I'm like, well, I don't know now that you pointed it out, but thanks.
You don't know until you know. That's part of making.
Absolutely.
So when you first kind of branched out into this, like on your own, what kind of equipment did you have and what got you into like signs and ornaments and stuff like that?
So I think it started with, you know, most people do like the customized, like, hey, can you cut out my last name? Like that's kind of, at least for what I see people doing, like they'll do like a little welcome sign or like they cut their name out or maybe like a team logo or something. So I started out with that. I was in a 2-car garage with, I think I had a 40 amp service. I think that was what I had in there. And I had a Hobart 12CI plasma cutter. It had the built-in air compressor, and that thing loved me. I mean, I hit the duty cycle, I mean, every time.
Yep.
I pushed that machine way harder than I needed to. But it's, I mean, that machine, let's see here. So that was my plasma. The welder I had the, what is it? The Black Central Electric Flux Core Welder.
Yep. We all had that. That was a part of all our lives. I don't care who you are.
I actually still have it in my shop. I have it up in the reactor. It's just like a reminder of like, you used to run that thing and the, you know, the bird shit welds you used to lay with that thing. Now you got a nicer machine that, you know, I can really lay down some beads. But yeah, so I started out with the Harbor Freight and actually the Hobart plasma. That was a gift from my dad. Our local, actually this store right here, Buckeyes, they had it for like 50% off or something. And so it was a graduation gift. And I think the first thing I cut was a giraffe silhouette for my wife. That's her favorite thing. And then, yeah, it basically how it transitioned, it was, hey, can you make me this? Hey, can you make me this? And then it just kept kind of, they kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I'd say my first big business sign was, because it was in the 2-car garage. It was probably 2021, 22, maybe. And I remember I gave them a quote. I delivered it and she gave me more money than what I quoted her because she loved it so much. And then ever since then, I was like that, like trying to chase that feeling every time I do a sign. That's what inspired me, I guess.
Huh. With this recent conference table build that you did, this thing was heavy duty. You said it was in a previous podcast that I had listened to with you on it. I think it was for like a content or a film team that has been working with you and filming stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So, their name is Moss Marketing Group. They're here in Kansas City and I've been following their content, watching them in their journey for a while. And it just was one of those things I had always been watching. I'm like, you know what? I need a little help in terms of just being able to post more post quality. And so we teamed up and I made them a reception desk. I think that thing ended up weighing 600 pounds. They like heavy and I like heavy too. So it worked out. And then after that, they're like, we want a conference room table. I said, okay, I can do that. And I think the table top alone was 500 pounds, but the overall table probably weighed, I mean, it was probably 1,000 pounds. So it's not going anywhere. But yeah, they what's cool about them is they just say, hey, make something epic, and I'm totally okay with that because that's probably one of the most limiting thing as a creator most time is people's budget. To go absolutely wild isn't in the budget. So having that opportunity to really just do something completely unique, and that's what I tried doing with this table. I was like, I've never seen a table that doesn't have legs at the corner. Like there's always some form of leg. I was like, I want this table to be supported in the middle. And just, I mean, like literally when you look at it, MMG, like that's the foundation of the table. And like, I was trying to convey like, you know, you needed a good marketing group behind you, and they're mine. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that's sick. I always say, like, I don't know if I should really say this, but the company I work for, they got a main building, and then we got a small building that used to be like a Sunbelt Rentals, and it's just me and one other welder in there, and there's no like tornado plan or nothing. Like, in the event of a tornado, this thing's going down. And we always say, like, if that happens, we're going to climb under our acorn tables and there strap ourselves on. I'd probably strap myself to that conference table before I followed any sort of tornado plan.
100%.
Did you ever run into any projects for your dad or family where you overbuilt it and then you get chewed out for making it too heavy? Did that ever happen? Yeah.
I mean, the railroad tie one, he's like, how am I going to move this thing? I'm like, we got a tractor? He's like, yeah, but it's like 8x8 and you got like 12 railroad ties on this thing. I'm like, you're not wrong.
But you'll never build another one, you know? Nope. Like, come on. Yeah, all the time. I still do it all the time. Way too freaking heavy.
Yeah, I've built some flatbeds here that I think I found the second one I built. It finally was like something where I was like, okay, this actually is a man. I think it ended up weighing like 900 pounds for a.
That's not bad for a flatbed, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. You know, all
that's
steel,
not bad at all.
Fully welded. I was like, that's manageable.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have anything to lift it, so I've been relying on my Harbor Freight gantry crane for everything. That's where, like I said, on the shop expansion, I'll have, basically, I'm going to have two runners where I can just move my lifting point wherever I need within that zone. So it'll be about a 24 foot long by 22-ish foot wide rectangle that anything in that section, I'll be able to pick it up. And I'm definitely going to get an electric hoist. I'm not doing the old chain.
No, I got a Vivor 4,600 pound electric hoist. Don't do anything else. Get a remote one though, yeah. If you can. That's worth every penny.
If that's a, you know, a little segment of a piece of advice, always be looking at where you can save time and not spend a bunch of money and
absolutely.
Not going like this for 30 minutes for, you know, 7 inches of lift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go buy the $300 or whatever, you know, electric hoist and you push a button.
And then be done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just a one man band. It's just me. So anywhere I can save a little time is super valuable.
And a little exhaustion too, because them chain hoists, man, they'll get you breathing heavy once you're done with it. Like you said, to lift it 7 freaking inches, you're like huffing and puffing at it like that gum. Yep.
How did it come about you working with Wobros on some content on the Wobros channels?
Yeah. Well, I think they have the best looking FRs. I mean, I think that's no doubt.
I think that's pretty common knowledge there. They got some
yeah.
badass shit.
And I bought two or three. I can't remember exactly what. I think it was two. I bought two of them because one, I think I'm just kind of an outgoing, energetic, like their shirts match my energy type deal. So I thought, you know, and also a good visual on my videos, you know, because everything in the shop's kind of brown. Like it used to be nice white gravel and then now all the grinding dust and dirt, you know, because all my shop's open. So like legit, if I don't cover what I'm working on, birds are going to poop on it. Like, and like I have chickens every now and then that roost in there. Like it's an open facility. So it's just dirty. And I was like, you know, trying to find ways to stand out and so between the visual aspect and then also they do what they're supposed to do. Like that's a product that works. So I, you know, been making my videos, doing my stuff. And Chris was like, hey, man, thanks for supporting me. And it just kind of kept going. And we connected and he's really into the education side of things. He's always doing the little history section.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
So. Little tidbits. And he's like, you know, I want to bring you in on some plasma cutting stuff. And, you know, also just whatever you have for tips and tricks. So, like, I've been doing a lot of plasma cutting here lately. But, yeah, I'm just going to – it just kind of organically came together. And, you know, it's – I think a lot of people think that – you have to always like you have to ask, but sometimes you just got to put in the work and be organic with it. Organic means more than being like, hey, I'll, you know, if you pay me or, you know, whatever the deal is, if you're trying to go for free stuff or you're trying to do like paid brand deals, like, you know, sometimes you just got to put in the work and show them like, no, you do support them. And then by supporting them, they're going to support you. it's full circle.
With your limited equipment, I think you run the ESOP Volt, right?
I have the Volt, I have the Rustler, the 280, and then I have the Rebel 205, the AC/DC. So I got a couple machines now, but yeah, they're my babies.
Yeah, that Volt has to be like perfect for you, so you don't have to run off a generator with that.
It is so nice. Like I've done two gate installs on a single charge. So I go out to the job site.
Wow.
And I still put the generator in the back just in case they run out. Yeah, because you don't want to show up and be like, oh, I got to come back just to weld 3 inches or whatever. So, I still put it in the back, but now I have a second set of batteries. So now, now I'm cooking. But I've done two gate installs, and literally all I've had to do is just flip the button on, the batteries are charged, I weld, and I'm done. And I'm not listening to that generator. I can literally just play music off my phone and not have, I don't have to have headphones in because the thing's going bah! In the background, But yeah, that Volt's awesome. I love that thing.
Yeah. Are you from Missouri? You're at now?
Yeah, no. So I actually grew up in Southeast Missouri. It's like Cape Girardeau is usually what I tell people just because that's like the most well-known area. That or like Sikeston's a little farther down south, but that part, we're like legit the boot of Missouri. So from down there, and then I went to school at KU, and that's how I made my journey up here and then just set my roots up here.
Yeah. With your day job, I saw you posted a video, or maybe it was just a photo. You were working into the daylight the other day. What are your typical hours that you have to work around? How long are you at the day job, and then how long are you working at home?
Yeah, so fortunately for me, I get to work remotely, so that's super helpful. I don't have to worry about a drive time, I need to get going because I need to get into work. I just walk in from the house or from the shop, come in the house, and I'm ready to rock. But here lately, I've been getting up at 3 to 6:37 is shop time, and then 7 to 8 is just me helping the wife get her ready to go, get the kids going, and then from 8 to basically 4 or 5, I'm watching my two boys and doing my day job. So it's hectic, but it works for now, and that's if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where is KU?
Lawrence, Kansas. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, University of Kansas.
I'd heard of it, but I only knew, I go to Wichita pretty often, so, the Shockers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And with the table being as heavy as it was, do you feel like that's kind of, your maximum capability with your current shop setup right now?
I did just finish a spiral staircase.
Yeah.
I will never do it. That's...
No, that's that bad?
That's the max. Because the gantry crane is only 8 foot wide. So, the staircase is 6 foot, but the issue is but I can only pick it up from one point because I have a gravel floor. So I was going to try and put wheels on the crane, but it's just not going to roll. So I built the entire thing on the trailer and just basically leveled out the trailer where I could. And then I had I zeroed out my center pipe. And then, 90 to everything off of that. I would say that is definitely my limiting project. And that thing it's probably around a 1,200 pound-ish mark. I think I figured it up to be 1,000, but that didn't seem right. So I'm calling it 1,200. But I guess that conference room table probably was bigger. But yeah.
Spiral staircase is a bucket list project for my career, I think.
Yeah.
They look complicated, but they do look fun.
Yeah, it turned out good. I mean, it's not perfect by any means because it's, I had to hand roll the handrail, and that came with a series of challenges. I think I broke 3 Harbor Freight rollers, which that is not what that's for, but I made it work. Yeah, you just, sometimes it's learning It's learning the extent of your capabilities with the tools that you have without dumping a bunch of money and keeping your overhead low. So on this one, that's exactly what it was. I could have, after the fact, I wish I would have sourced, someone to roll it for me, but I was in a time crunch. So it's okay, I'm just going to have to buckle up and get it done. And that's what we did.
I saw somebody had completed one on TikTok, and then somebody commented, "Hey, I'm about to take one on. Can you send me like these files?" And he was like, "I'll sell you all these files because I have it tabbed and slotted every single one of these steps in, and you can just adjust to your whatever size you need." Like,
that's been nice. But I don't have a table, so I cut it all by hand.
Right.
You know, so I cut the treads just, you know, by hand, plasma. I had a guide, and then I basically C-clamped them all together and just ground down all the edges to make them uniform. So they're obviously they're not perfect, but they end up getting like flat bar on the front and the back. And that was one thing I did not foresee. I knew it'd be a lot of welding and grinding because, you know, you're welding those full surfaces. I would have rather tried putting together like a DIY brake and saving all that time from just welding the seam, grinding. It's like, okay, there's a couple of pinholes or there's some openings there. Go back, weld it again, grind it again. Okay.
He would have saved a lot of time. Yeah.
Back two, it was on the trailer. So I'm crawling on the trailer and it just, it was a nightmare project, honestly.
Yeah.
So I haven't posted much about it because it's just been one of those things I'm like, I don't really want to share it. Like, I'll share it, but I don't want to share it in the sense of like, oh, hey, look, I make staircases. No, I don't. I did it and I won't do it again. You know, like I said, I think it turned out great. It was just a really good learning experience of like, I don't have the proper tooling to do this efficiently. Did I make money? Yes. Did I make what I wanted? Absolutely not. But I mean, like every entrepreneur, you're going to lowball some. And you find out real quick, that's not your niche item. And I think that's like one of the things maybe people like about me is I do all sorts of projects. Now that I've done a bunch, I'm starting to bring it back. I think I want to do flatbeds and signs. Those are my gravy projects. I like doing them. That's where my creative juices flow. I'll still do like in the local, like, hey, I broke whatever. Like, yeah, I'll repair that. But I'm not looking to do the real crazy stuff. You know, staircases, I'm out. That's not me.
I can't believe you took that on, man.
I don't know why I did, honestly. Can you build that? Yeah, I can build that.
But yeah, no problem. Done it before.
Let me tell you, between AI and just reading the code book, you can put it together.
To be doing it all on a trailer is insane. That is the one that you posted where you were working into the sunlight, right?
Yep. Yeah, I have a bunch of, I filmed all of that, you know, long form and short. So I'll have that come out. I mean, I have a bunch of content to put together for YouTube. I just was trying to honestly bank a bunch of stuff. So now that I took some time to kind of slow down, do the shop expansion. But with that, you know, I can do a couple hours of editing, you know, pump out some videos and try to get that YouTube going.
Yeah. Are you still working with that marketing company?
Yeah, we do. Basically, they just kind of keep finding projects for me to work on, and we keep working together. And they're super creative, so it works out great. Like they want the wildest and craziest stuff, and that's just right up my alley.
What were your expectations like going into it? What did you expect from them, and like what did you get out from it?
Well, luckily, I had already been following them for, I think, since 2023, maybe 22. So like I had already seen like the content that they were capable of making. And I was like, man, like that stuff is just next level. So it just was like, I know if I put out a killer product, they're going to be able to put out a killer product. Having something that's super cool to video and, you know, capture is only going to make the content better. If you have like a sub, like if you have an average flatbed, like, yeah, you can make some cool cinematic shots, but it's like, okay, it's a flatbed. But if you have the conference room table that is, I have not seen one like it, it's easy to make awesome content because like, holy cow, what is that?
Yeah, that's nuts. Did the spiral staircase go into a house or like a shop, or what was that for?
It is for a next year deck. So they got a bunch of like landscaping done, got a pool put in, and then yeah, so the deck is, or the stairs is just to get from ground level to the existing deck that they had. So that, it's at Powder Coat now. I'm supposed to pick it up Monday, I think. Yes, Monday. I have a couple things to do to it. Because I did. So it was a little tough because, like, there's an existing railing that the clients wanted to keep. So basically, I built the spiral staircase as it is, and then I'm doing, like, post-installed railings for the top landing to match up with the existing stuff. Because my biggest fear was just any kind of... But basically, that, like, if the concrete wasn't the way we were thinking, or, like, you know, just trying to plan for best case scenario, like, go ahead and give ourselves some room for error. It's like, if we post install these, we can line up exactly where we want it, kind of deal. Whereas if it's like, oh, it's like a half inch short, or, you know, either that, whether that be long in the width direction or up and down, like, I don't want it to look kinked. So just trying to give myself the best chance for success and all that jazz.
What do installs look like for you? Do you typically install, like, your own signs that you built, or do you have a specific contractor that you like to work with that does?
Yeah. So it's a combination. So, like, if they're local, I like to deliver just to meet the people. Like SNL Hardware, that was one sign that I went out there and I helped install. But for the most part, people are really far away when they order my signs. So I do a lot of freight shipping. I just try to make it super easy. Basically, a piece of angle that gets bolted to the wall. And then, so, you know, got your angle on the wall and then a mirrored angle on the back of the sign. So it just sits on that. And then there'll be bolts that just tie it together. So that way, like, when you're installing it, make sure your angle is level on the wall, hang your sign, put some bolts in.
None. Nice and simple.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
It's hard to make, like, an intricate, you know, fastening system, because it's just like, well, one, what's their level of experience of just even, like, running a drill? You know, like, you gotta get down to the, like, even the basic tools. Like, do they know how to use a level? Can they use a tape measure? You know, like, so if I can make it as simple as possible with just, like, that angle detail, that's about as simple as it can get. Basically a French cleat. Yeah, so, sorry, I guess I didn't fully answer. But yeah, so I usually do either I ship it out and we do that detail, or I'll install it and it's basically a similar detail. But I don't work with any contractors per se, just because the stuff hasn't been big enough where I've needed, like, a crane. Now, the staircase, that's going to need a crane, but I'm not installing it. I was just fabbing it up because they're going to put Trex decking on the treads. So I had a bunch of holes cut out for that. So they'll do all that work. They'll post install the railings, and I got some caps that I just have plastic caps because the other ones haven't come in. At this point, I don't know if they're ever going to come in. So I'm probably going to just fabricate some nice dome looking caps, like the center pipe. Just kind of spice it up a little bit. But yeah.
And you got into logistics there. I hadn't even thought of that. Like, I was thinking most of your work was around you. Has that been a pretty big learning curve, or were you familiar with that?
My gosh. Freight shipping is tough.
Bad. That's a tough thing to learn.
Is, and it's finding where your breakover point is for using, like, UPS to freight. It's like, for me, I know, like, a 4x3 sign, like, I can get it to ship well, and I guess there's, when I say 4x3, that's not just like a single layer. Like, if it's a single layer, yeah, UPS, that's just easier, and you can ship it right to the person. You can ship right to the person as well for freight, but do they have a dock? Do they have something to unload? Now you're talking, there's a residential fee. There's a dock load fee. Like, you start tacking on all these fees. So in the beginning, I'm like, oh yeah, I can get that shipped to you $300. And then I get the quote and it's $700. You're like, yep, missed it on that one. So yeah, freight shipping is a beast. You just learn things like, if you're over, 92 inches wide, you're an oversized fee. And it's like, okay, well, why can't you put that in? Like, I know how wide your trailer is, but yes, that is how, like, the trailer is wider, but that's just how they classify it. It's an oversized deal. So between learning all the different fees, and I actually ended up just partnering up with, it's called Freight Center. I have someone, I send him dimensions, where it's going, where it's coming from. He handles all of that. I'm sure I could do it as well, but I already have enough irons in the fire. You know, I'm doing the marketing. I'm doing the fabrication. I'm doing the invoicing. you need to learn how to delegate some things. So,
which is really hard.
Yeah, it is. So send it to my boy Curtis and saying, please get this set up, send it out. And he makes the bill of lading and then away we go. So and that's another thing I've learned is, so they will come to me to pick up the freight. And I just, after I basically got stacked with all these fees, I'm like, well, there's going to be a fee for pick up my house. And he's like, no, it's not a fee. You're kidding me. So I bought a tractor. So not only is the tractor for the farm that we're starting, but now instead of driving an hour and a half one way just to drop off at a freight center, because that's what happens, I didn't waste so much time just dropping off the freight. And as I feel like I've made pretty clear, my time is very limited. You know, I have the early mornings and I have late nights, which luckily freight centers are usually open 24 hours a day. So you can drop off at any time, but doesn't mean I want to drive 3 hours just to drop off one thing. So I will start having at home pickup and I'll be able to just load trucks up right there and I get right back to what I was doing. So yeah, freight's been an incredible learning opportunity and they don't handle things with care. So really make sure that whatever's inside is snug, it's wrapped tight, and be prepared for some box damage, because that's just the industry. Get loaded, get out, go to the next depot. That's one thing too. Your freight, even if you're shipping it, I don't know, 6 hours away, it might get on six different trucks. It's not from point A to point B. It's whatever logistically makes sense to get there the fastest. So if it means six trucks, it's going to get unloaded and loaded six times before it ever gets to the client. So that's six forklifts that could punch a hole through the side or drop it. You just have to be thinking about make a good sturdy box.
That's when we had Jesse McCollum on from Everlast last year, he was talking about how some people call into customer support with ridiculous stuff. And he said that he had just recently had one with a fork hole all the way through the machine in a package.
It's insane. So it's, granted, you do get the insurance. That's a tip. Insurance is not that much on your freight. Just get the peace of mind. I think for me, this most recent one, I think it was an extra $100-$150. Yeah, it's obviously extra cost, but do you want to rebuild the thing on your dollar? Or would you like to have those dollars back? And at least you're losing time, but you're still getting some of that financial part back.
Wasn't there one of your customers that had the building burned down with the
sign? Yeah, that was actually the SNL Hardware sign. So it's still up. Yeah, it was wild. My father-in-law, he was just getting on Facebook. And he's like, the SNL Hardware had a fire. What? And the building is the inside's black, roasted. I sent her a text hey, just thinking of you. And she's like, the sign made it. I was like, that's wild. Because I'm sure it's a metal building. So I'm definitely going to reach out and see if I can't come out there and look at it. Because that powder coat, if it gets hot enough, it's just going to drip off, basically. Because in the oven, it's 400, 350, depending on the manufacturer specs. I can tell you that building fire probably wasn't 300 degrees. So I definitely worry about what the back of that sign and maybe even just the entire sign. But yeah, that's... Yeah, that was devastating. It sucks to see that.
When was it?
Maybe a couple weeks ago, honestly. It's really, really recent.
That's nuts because, Andrew, I don't know if I told you this, but my wife and I were driving back home from church one day. It was probably two Sundays ago, and Ace Hardware here in Grand Island was on fire.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
Actually, you were probably in town.
I was here. Yeah, I was there for it. I saw that on Facebook, I think, too.
So our Ace Hardware uses all these trailers for storage during the winter. Mm-hmm. And so they got four trailers all lined up. And there was one that was filled with bird seed or something like that. And people who were cold were in there smoking and caught all the bird seed on fire. And then it ended up burning up all those trailers. Luckily, it didn't get to the building. But that's nuts that your hardware store had a
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I was just driving back and I was like, man, that's a lot of smoke. And then I was like, hey, I think, or no, the train, there was a train crossing. So I was like, ah, I guess I'll take the road behind Ace Hardware and go home.
Yeah.
We just seen this huge fire, ton of fire trucks, bunch of cops. It's nuts.
Yeah, you see a big black plume and it's like, ooh, yeah, that's not good.
Normally it's our meat packing plant here.
Yeah. Yep. Normally that one's on fire.
Yeah. But Jake, we got about 40 minutes of good footage. Here's something we ask every guest before we end each episode. What is your favorite genre of music to listen to while you work or weld?
I've been on a huge two. Metalcore, so like Sleep Token, Dayseeker, Bad Omens. That one puts me in the vibes. That one, and then like Def Leppard and that type of... I've been going on just back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. Like the oldies. So yeah, I don't even... I guess that's... he's... I don't know, rock. I don't even know what you call Def Leppard, but... That type of music, and yeah, metalcore. Those are my two at the moment.
I would have guessed house music would have been in there, to be honest. Yeah.
And it's funny too, because like for a while there, I was kind of getting into some screamo stuff. I have no idea why. It was just like enraging me, and I just work in
was
the shop.
Was it for that Spiral Staircase? Is that when that came on?
Oh, there is. I have never said don't you dare quit so many times during the project. Like, I want people to know that, like, you know, on Instagram, you know, everything looks like, and I feel like more people are saying it, which is great. Like, everyone makes it seem like it's all butterflies and rainbows. But that was the first project that I came in. I remember I came inside and was like, I don't know how to finish this because I was breaking those rollers. And I'm like, I cannot roll this tube. And basically I ended up welding the dies and the shafts. I welded it all together and I just put a breaker bar and we just did it by hand. And so, you know, it was stacking wins and continuing to tell myself, don't you dare. I mean, if someone was walking by the shop, they would have heard me yell, don't you dare quit. I was like, this is going, like, you are going to prove to yourself that you can do this. And I think it was just so upsetting because it was so outside of my norm of like, yes, I haven't built a conference table or a reception desk before, but it's like, those are, how do I word it? Like, those are things that are easier to put together and don't require extreme geometry. Whereas a spiral staircase, like you got your code limitations, you got like just the geometry reaction. Like if you were to overstep the stairs too much, like, is that going to cause issues? Like it was just such an out of bounds project for me. But yeah, I know that was, we just said like, oh, wrapping up, which genre? But
no,
yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, that
you're
was good. Yeah, it was good learning.
That reminded me of something recently, like a project that really pushed me to my end was at work. We had this, it sounds like such a simple thing, just powder coat hangers, but there was like 20 different styles and we did like 5 of each style, so like 100 hangers in total. Just a bunch of square tubing and then some machined parts. So it was panels for a trailer that could get powder coated and they could spin if they just put a drill on one side and just twisted it. The panel would spin. And, you know, working at a machine shop, all our designers are like previous machinists or tool makers, plastic injection mold builders. So they think everything has to be like within a 5 thou tolerance. It's absurd. And there was so much weld on this oddly shaped hanger, every single style, that we would warp them like, or distort them just, I mean, maybe like a quarter of an inch. And they'd be like, everything would get rejected. And that was over a year ago. I was fully about to quit my job. I was like, I cannot make it at this shop. Like, I'm going to go back to Chief where shit was cake. Like, I'm not good enough for this. And then we ended up getting through it with a porta power, you know, and a shit ton of time. But then they had ordered some more a couple months ago. And I was like, Jerry is the other welder that I work with. And he's like a way better fabricator. Like he's just a lot more experienced and a lot better. And I was like, Jerry, fucking work on that production shit. I need to like, I can't let this shit beat me again because I almost quit.
Yeah, it's good to push yourself to a limit like that, because if you just continually live in something that is always easy and good, well, you're not ever going to grow. Doing that project showed me, one, I can do it. I may not be the best fabricator, but I don't quit and I'm going to get it done. So being able to apply that elsewhere, like if I have another challenging project, it's like, no, you built a spiral staircase. You can do this. Like, I feel like spiral stair, I guess there are some really hard projects out there, but I feel like spiral is up there. That's not something that everyone can pick up and do.
Well, we appreciate your time. We'll have Jake's social medias linked in the show notes and my Everlast link and Edge Welding Cups link as well. If you haven't entered the giveaway on our Iron Insight Pod Instagram account, it's like over $1,000 worth of equipment. It's a TIG stick welder, Edge Cups kit, a hood from Andrew, custom cufflink bracelet, bunch of abrasives from Walter Abrasives. Go check it out. Check out all our social medias. They'll all be linked in the show notes. And Andrew.
And check out sunleatherworks.net. All sorts of custom welding hoods and other leather gear. My Everlast link is also in the show notes. Mr. Jake, we really appreciate you coming on. We talked about a lot of really cool things and projects, and we look forward to seeing what you do upcoming 2026.
Let's go. We got a lot planned.